So, a very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So, today is the 11th of July. 12 or 11? Oh, 12. Monday, 12th of July 2022, Tuesday class. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then, mindfully, we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Quan Sư Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sư Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sư Bồ Tát. Namo A Di Đà Phật. Namo A Di Đà Phật. Namo A Di Đà Phật. Nam mô 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 Di Lặc A Bồ Tát Bồ Tát. Nam mô Bồ Tát Bồ Tát. Nam mô Bồ Tát Bồ Tát. Nam mô Di Lặc Bồ Tát. Nam mô Di Lặc Bồ Tát. Nam mô Di Lặc Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phật Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phật Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phật Bồ Tát. Arahaṃ sammasambuddho bhagavā Buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādhemi. Suvakkato bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi. Suppatthipanno bhagavato sakkhasangho namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Kamesu micchācāra virāmani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Okay, you all can be seated and turn to page 3 of the chanting book. We will continue with our Padipa Puja offering chanting. Padipa Puja offering of light. Ganna sarappa dittena dippena tamantang sina diloka dipang sambuddhang Pujayami tamonodang ganda sambarayutena dobenahang sukang hina Pujaye pujaniyang pang puja bajana mutamang Wanna ganda guno betang etang kusuma santatin Pujayami Munindasa Siri Pada Sarorohe Pujemi Butang Kasumena Nena Punena Matena Chahotu Mokang Pupang Mila Yati Yata Idame Kayo Tata Yati Vinasabhavang Adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigam hatu muttamang Adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Okay, now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Now we shall all make this overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Then finally, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Let us now pay respect to Triple J. Bhutan Puja. Dhamman Puja. Sanghang Pujeme. Okay, you all can be seated and just relax body and mind and be at ease, maintain some form of attention, then we shall off the light so that we all can have all half an hour of awareness-based meditation. So awareness-based meditation is very important because it will help us develop the inner awareness. The inner awareness, when it arises, it will become very useful because this is the meditative mind. The inner awareness that is without thought is your silent mind, and it's also your meditative mind. And if you understand it, it is also your true mind before the thought arises, before the thinking arises, before the aggregates of mind arise. That's why all these five aggregates of form and mind within the consciousness, they are all manifestation of that true nature. Then if you are mindful and aware, you can understand how they arise dependent on condition. They are dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. When you see it very clearly, then you will come to understand profoundly who are you, what are you, what this mind, yet of form and mind is all about. The two aspects. First aspect as a living being, in our case is the human being. Then the second aspect is our mental five aggregates of form and mind, where the external form enters the mind through our perception aggregate. So together with the four aggregate of mind, which is Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana, we have the five aggregates too. So every moment of sense experience, every moment of contact, this five aggregate of form and mind, the second aspect, can also arise. And this is what the Buddha is interested in. That's why the Patijasamuppada teaching, the dwelling that the Buddha taught, they deal with the five aggregate of form and mind, the second aspect, which is the thought. Before it becomes the thought, it's just the pure jnana. Then when you input the content of consciousness, it becomes namarupa. Namarupa is the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. So that's how it arises. So if you are mindful, you can see it, you can understand it, then a lot of things become easy and clear. Okay, I will set the alarm now so that you can proceed with your half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Then after the half an hour is up, I will ring the bell. Upon hearing the bell, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. So initially, just remember the four support, especially the first three, for awareness-based meditation. First support is relax body and mind completely, so that you are completely at ease. Nothing to disturb you or bother you. Physically relaxed, mentally also relaxed, at ease. Then silent everything so that there is no thought, but maintain awareness. When you aware, there is this silent mind. It's just aware. But the problem with human beings is they think a lot. The aggregates of mind keep on arising, and because of that, it creates thinking, thought process. So this heedless thinking is a result of avijja, ignorance. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara. Sankhara is mental activity, mental movement, mental states, mental emotion, your mental intention. Everything that your mind can do is sankhara, including your feeling and perception. So Vedana Sanya is part of sankhara. That's why sankhara in total, the Buddha described there are 52, including these two. Otherwise, it's only 50. And this will become the content of consciousness. you are mindful and aware, this content of consciousness, that when it, you can be aware, you can understand how you are conditioned into negativity, into emotion, and how you function as a human being. All this will become clear to you. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. And you turn the basics of the chanting. You do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities and devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chiokawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadang Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti beso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido Anotaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manosanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Yadirang tatari purisa yukani Atta purisa bukala Esa bhagavato saukasango Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakkeneyo anjali karaneyo Anotarang penyang ketang lokasati Sadu, sadu, sadu. Okay, you can be seated. And we shall continue from where we start. We are page 303 of this book. The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutra. All in one. Okay, Sutra. Then there was another Buddha, also named Brightness, or sun, moon, lamp. And then another Buddha, also named brightness or sun, moon, lamp. And so forth, or 20,000 Buddhas, all of the same name. Brightness of sun, moon, lamp, and also of the same surname, Bharadvaja. Maitreya, it should be known that all of those Buddhas, from the first to the last, have the same name. Brightness of sun, moon, lamp, and were complete with their 10 titles, and that the Dhamma they spoke was good at the beginning, good in the middle, and good in the end. Then we move on to the commentary here. Previously, in explaining the passage, good at the beginning, good in its middle, and good at its end, I spoke of Sakyamuni Buddha. Actually, the analogy applies not only to Sakyamuni Buddha, but to all Buddhas in the 10 directions throughout the 3 periods of time. The sutta text itself speaks about Buddha by the name Sun, Moon, Lamp, Brightness, who spoke the Dhamma, good at its beginning, middle, and end. Then there was another Buddha, that is, after the previous name Buddha, after the previously mentioned Buddha named Brightness of Sun, Moon, Lamp, there was yet another one, also with the same name, and then after that Buddha also have the same name. Later, after the second Buddha by the name of Brightness of Sun, Moon, Lamp, yet another Buddha appeared, and he didn't take a different name, he was also of the same name. Why did he take that name? Because it was brightness and all wisdom, and also samadhi power and morality. The name carries the meaning of morality, samadhi, and wisdom. So it's sila, samadhi, and panya. All of the 3 non-outflow studies. If you have morality, you will not flow out. And that is a non-outflow. If you have wisdom, you will not flow out. And that is also a non-outflow. If you have samadhi, you will flow out even less. You will obtain the state of non-outflow. The perfection of the 3 non-outflow studies. The Buddha liked this name, and so the first, second, and third Buddha all have the same name, and not only the third, and also so forth for 20,000 Buddhas. Every one of them had the same name. The name sound very fine, and so 20,000 Buddhas like it, and also the same surname. Not only did they have the same first name, their last name were the same too. What were they? They are Bharadvaja, a Sanskrit word which means rapid, because they become Buddhas very quickly. If you had that name, you probably would realize Buddhahood very quickly too. Pity you don't. And so you are very slow. The word Bharadvaja may also be interpreted as sharp-rooted, because they were extremely intelligent and wise. Where did their wisdom and intelligence come from? It comes from the cultivation of all manners of Dhammada. They studied the sutta, they read and recite the great vehicles of writings. And so their names, sharp-rooted, it may also be said to mean full speech. Their speech was perfect. They expressed the doctrine in its entirety. What they say was all in accord with the Buddha Dharma. Those are the 3 meanings of Bharadvaja. Then the commentary say, Maitreya, it should be known So the commentary, Maitreya Bodhisattva says, Manjushri Bodhisattva says, Maitreya Bodhisattva, Bodhisattva invincible, you ought to know that all those Buddha from the first to the last had the same name, brightness of sun, moon, lamp. They were complete with the 10 titles. The name brightness of sun, moon, lamp is a specific name. The 10 titles are common to all Buddhas of the 10 directions. And that of the Dhamma they spoke was good at the beginning, at the middle, and at the end. Right up to the last of the Buddha, they all spoke Dhamma which are good at the beginning, good at the middle, and good at its end. When they first brought forth the Bodhi heart and began to cultivate, it was good. In the middle, while they were cultivating, it was also good. And at the very end, when they become Samasa Buddha, it was also very good. So this is one of the way to explain good in the beginning, good in the middle, and good at the end. Then we go on and read the sutta. Before the last Buddha left the home life, he had 8 royal sons. The first was named Intention, the second Good Intention, the third Limitless Intention, the fourth Dual Intention, the fifth Increasing Intention, the sixth Intention Rid of Doubt, the seventh Resounding Intention, and the eighth Dhamma Intention. The 8 princes were of awesome virtue and self-mastery, and each ruled over 4 continents. When the princes heard that their father had left the home life and attained Anuttara Samya Sambodhi, they all renounced their royal position and left home as well. They brought forth the resolve of the great vehicle and constantly cultivate Brahman conduct. All became Dhamma master. Having already in the presence of 10 million Buddhas, planted the seeds of goodness. Then we go on to the commentary. Before the last Buddha left the home life, the commentary says, is before the last of the 20,000 Buddhas had left the home life, he had 8 royal sons. Sakyamuni Buddha had 1 son, Rahula. The last of this series of Buddha, brightness of sun, moon, lamp, had 8 sons, and each had his own name. The first was Intention. He had a great heart of the way and had brought forth the intention, the thought of one with the help of the great vehicle. The second, Good Intention. He had no bad intention. He had well brought forth the Bodhi mind, well brought forth the great heart for the way. So he was called Good Intention. The third, Limitless Intention, he had brought forth an unlimited great Bodhi heart for the way. This was his intention. The fourth, Dual Intention, his most cherished, most treasured intention, was to seek for Buddhahood. The fifth, Increasing Intention. What intention was increased? The intention to bring forth the Bodhi heart. The sixth, Intention, Rid of Doubt. In cultivation, only fear that you will have doubt. If you have doubt, you may take the wrong path. So it is said, the cultivator's heart must be free of doubt. Once doubt arises, it's easy to go wrong. This one is very true. So without very strong, unshakable faith, doubt can arise. When doubting thoughts begin to plague you, in your confusion, you may lose the right path and enter a dangerous path. The seventh, resounding intention. His cultivation of the great vehicle Dhamma was like an echo in a mountain valley. When you bring forth the Bodhi heart, the Bodhi mind, the way heart, it works like an echo. You bring forth the heart and the Buddha knows. The eighth, Dhamma intention. The eight princes were of awesome virtue and self-mastery. Each of them was very solemn, dignified, and accomplished in virtuous conduct, and each ruled over four continents. The four continents refer to a system of one sun, one moon, and one Mount Sumeru, and one set of four continents. When the prince heard that their father had left the homeland, when they heard that their father had already left home and became a monk, and on top of that had become a Buddha and attained Anuttara Samyasambodhi, the utmost equal and proper enlightenment, all eight of them all renounced their royal position. They didn't become emperor anymore. They gave up their beautiful consorts and concubines. They didn't want them. They gave up their kingdom, cities, wives and children. They renounced their kingdom and gave away their cities, gave away their wives and children, and left home as well. They followed the last of the brightness of Sun, Moon, Lamb, Buddha, and left home. They brought forth the resolve for the great vehicle and constantly cultivate the Brahman conduct. They always cultivate pure conduct and did so without resting. They were always speakers. All became Dhamma master and went about everywhere explaining the sutta and teaching the Dhamma. Having already in the presence of 10 million Buddhas planted the seeds of goodness, do all kind of good deeds, making offerings to the Triple Gem, paying respect to the Triple Jewel, the eight royal son cultivated the giving of offering and practiced the Bodhisattva conduct, cultivating the Buddha way, they brought forth great Bodhi heart. So these are the example of very strong resolve of all these beings who actually go forth. Because when you are in this spiritual field, this spiritual realm, the cultivation become very different. And when all this manifests, you will move on your own. That's why this sutta, they explain the uniqueness of this particular type of name that so many Buddha, Samasambuddha, intend to have them and perfect them to become the Samasambuddha. So this total 20,000, I think, is one of the most unique. Never before so many. Then the last one, all the eight princes also follow him. Renounce the world, give up, and perform so much perfection and cultivation. That's why their way is very unique. Yeah. And so many love that name. So this is a very good example of how the spiritual cultivation can be developed by people who have the affinity and condition to understand. Okay, we continue with the sutta. Next section of the sutra. At that time, the Buddha, Sun, Moon, Lamb, Brightness, spoke a great vehicle sutra named the Limitless Principles, a Dhamma for instructing Bodhisattvas, of which the Buddha are protective and mindful. When he had finished speaking the sutta, he then in the midst of the assembly sat in lotus, in full lotus, and entered the samadhi of the station of limitless principles. His body and mind were unmoving. So this limitless principle is a very unique principle. Then from the heaven, there fall a rain of Mandarava flowers, Mahamandarava flowers, Manjushaka flowers, Mahamanjushaka flowers, which were scattered upon the Buddha in the entire great assembly. All the universes quake in six directions. At that time, the entire great assembly of bhikkhu, bhikkhuni, upasika, upasaka, gods, dragons, yakas, gandhavas, asura, garudas, kinaras, mahorakas, beings, human and non-human, as well as the minor kings and the wheel-turning sage kings, and so forth, all attained what they had never had before. They rejoice and join their palms, every one heart grace upon the Buddha. Then the first come one emitted from between his brow a white hair mark light, which illuminated 18,000 Buddha land to the east, omitting none of them. So this was the potency of such Buddha's power. Then I read on. So there is this outline of the sharing, H2. Similarity of what was seen in the past with what is occurring in the present. Because in the past, Manjushri had witnessed them. Then Maitreya also. But out of love and compassion for the other cultivators, both Manjushri and Maitreya, they try to create a condition for this to be shared. So this highlight the section on similarity of the potents. Then the six potent in this world is a repeat. At that time, right then, when the eight princes left home, the last of the Buddha named Sun, Moon, Lamb, Brightness, spoke a great Vahika Sutra named The Limitless Principles. This sutra is a Dhammadhamma for instructing all the Bodhisattvas, that's why it's very unique, of which the Buddhas are very protective and mindful of. All the Buddhas are protective and mindful of this sutra. When he had finished speaking the sutta, he then, in the midst of the assembly, he was rightly in the assembly of bhikkhus, bhikkhuni, upasaka, upasika, bodhisattvas, and arahants, sat in full lotus, draw up his leg into full lotus position, and enter the samadhi. The samadhi of the station of limitless principles. His body and mind were unmoving. This passage has already been explained in detail, and we can merely read through it here without discussing it further. When the Buddha entered the samadhi of the stations of limitless principle, his body did not move and his mind did not move. His unmoving state of body and mind is an indication that he has attained samadhi. Then from the heaven, there fall a rain. It looks like rain, but it was not water. What was it? It was rain of Madhavaras flowers, little white flowers, and Mahamandrava flowers, big white flowers. The white flowers, large and small, fall together in profusion, filling the air with a delectable fragrance. The ground was completely carpeted with these flowers. It also rained Manjushaka flowers, small red flowers, and Maha Manjushaka flowers, bigger red flowers. These four kinds of flower represent the four sets of position, the 10 dwellings, the 10 practices, the 10 dedications of the 10 ground, which was scattered upon the Buddha and the entire great assembly of Dhamma. All the Buddha universes as many great Trichilokosum as the grains of sand in the Ganges, quite in six way. I'm not going to test you now, so you don't have to peep at your own notes. At that time, the entire great assembly of Bhikkhu, Bhikkhuni, Upasaka, Upasika, the four assembly of disciples, gods, dragons, yakas, that is, goats, Gandhavas, and music spirits in the court of the Jaga Emperor, Asura, those who are ugly and without wine, Garudas, other great golden wing, Pengbat, Kinaras, are also music spirits in the court of the Jade Emperor. Mahoragas are big snakes, beings human and non-human, as well as the minor kings, kings of small countries, and the wheel turning sage kings, and so forth. There are a lot more than the above mentioned names, but not all of them have been listed separately. Everyone present attained what they have never had before. They had never seen nor heard anything like it before. They saw that they had never seen and heard what they have never heard. Now seeing and hearing, they rejoice and join their palms. Seeing the Buddha, sun, moon, lamp, brightness, display such spiritual penetration. Everyone was happy. They put their palms together and with one heart gazed at the Buddha. They were single-minded as they looked at the Buddha. Then the thus come one, the Buddha, sun, moon, lamp, brightness, also emit from between his brow a white hair mark light, which illuminated 18,000 Buddha land or Buddha world in the east, from the Buddha world across Buddha world, 18,000 in number. The Buddha worlds will represent the 18 rhymes. The six quaking mentioned earlier represent the six sense organs quaking. The six sense organ plus the six sense object plus the six consciousness and the 18 hence make the 18 rhymes. So the Buddha emitted light shining across 18,000 Buddha land, which represent the 18 rhyme, omitting none of them. There was no place in which there was a Buddha where the light did not reach. It reached them all. So that occasion was very unique. Huh? Mm. Okay. What's the time now? Oh, we still have time. We continue a bit more. Huh? So we continue the sutta, just like all the Buddha land now since. Maitreya, it should be known that there were at that time in the assembly 20,000 bodhisattvas who took delight in listening to the Dhamma. Upon seeing this bright light illuminate at the Buddha land, all the bodhisattvas obtained what they have never had and wished to know the causes and condition for this light. So, commentaries. Once again, Manjusri Bodhisattva speaks to Maitreya. Bodhisattva saying, Maitreya, you main one, it should be known, you should know, that there were at one time, or at that time in the assembly, in the Dhamma assembly, 20 million bodhisattvas who took delight in listening to this style of Dhamma. They all like to hear the Buddha speak the Dhamma. That's why that unique occasion was really unique. Upon seeing this bright light emitted from the Buddha, brightness of the sun, moon, lamp, illuminate all the Buddha land, all the bodhisattva gave rise to doubt. They didn't understand or they didn't give rise to doubt. They didn't understand, seeing the Buddha emit the white hair mark light from between his brow, which illuminated 18,000 Buddha land to the east. They also obtained what they had never had. They had never seen anything like it before and wished to know the causes and conditions for this light. The 20 million Bodhisattvas also want to know the reason for the light. Why did the Buddha emit the light? What was the reason? So this is where the sutta explained. Eh? There was at that time a Bodhisattva by the name Wondrous Light, who had 800 disciples. The Buddha brightness of the sun moon lamp then arose from samadhi, and for the sake of the Bodhisattva, Wondrous Light, spoke a great vehicle sutra called the Wonderful Dhamma, Lotus Flower. A Dhamma for instructing Bodhisattvas, of which the Buddha is protective and mindful. So this is the great Vahika Sutta, eh? Wonderful Dhamma Flower Sutta, Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing. Okay, commentaries. There was at that time a Bodhisattva in the assembly by the name of Wondrous Light, who had 800 disciples. The Buddha brightness of the sun moon lamp then arose from samadhi. He came out of his samadhi, the samadhi of the station of limitless principle, and for the sake of the Bodhisattva, Wondrous Light, spoke a great vehicle sutta, which he called the Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. It was the Dhamma Dao for instructing Bodhisattvas, of which the Buddha is protective and mindful. So no wonder this sutta, Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing, the Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta, is so important, so popular. Because without this particular sutta, actually a lot of people who took the Bodhisattva way, they will not progress so fast. So this sutta is very unique. The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. Once you have this sutta, these are sutras that use, the Samasambuddha used to instruct all the Bodhisattvas. That's why it can be very, very unique. So understanding this sutta is very important. That's why we intend to cover this Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta, Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing. Now we only at chapter 1. There's a lot more to go, but no hurry. Hopefully, slowly, steadily, we will be able to finally complete them. Okay, I will go back to the sutta. How do I go back? Wait, I have to ask Sui to help me. Share screen. So I'll read on. For 60 small aeons, he did not see or did not rise from his seat. Those assembled listening also sat in one place for 60 small aeons with bodies and mind unmoved, listening to what the Buddha said, as if it were but the space of a meal. At that time, in the assembly, there was not a single person who grew weary, either physically or mentally. This is really awesome. When the Buddha, brightness of sun moon lamp, spoke the sutta, how long did it take him? 60 small aeons. If you are talking about a long one, 60 small aeons isn't really too long. If you you are talking about a short period of time. It isn't exactly short. One aeon is 139,600 years. This is a small aeon. 1,000 of those aeons. Oh, sorry. That is just one very, very minute aeon. Huh? Then 1,000 of these minute aeons make one small aeon. So, counting up, how long would 60 small aeons be? Well, this is really long. Yeah? So, you add 1,000, means 139,600 million years. Yeah? And that is one small aeon. So, 1,000 of those aeon only make one small aeon. Then he spoke the sutta for 60 small aeon. Means 60 times 139 million years. Oh, this is really long. However, one thought is 10,000 years. And 10,000 years is but a single thought. This one you can never comprehend until you realize your true mind, your true nature. Because that nature is beyond thought, beyond mind. Then you can understand why it is mentioned. One thought is 10,000 years. And 10,000 years is but just a single thought. You could also say that one thought is 10,000 aeons. And 10,000 aeons is but a single thought. In the heaven of the four kings, a single day and night is equivalent to 50 years here on our human realm. In the heavens of the 33, means King Saka, they call it the Tavatinsa heaven. A day and night is 100 years among humans. Then a day and night seems like a very short space of time to them. It's just like what Einstein has discovered. Yeah? What Einstein has discovered is the theory of relativity. Time is a fourth dimension. It's relative. When your speed tends towards the speed of light, time is arrested. Almost arrested. Time slowed down. And scientists have proven it. They have experimented. They experiment with the clock flying at high speed. Then they experiment with the particle accelerator. Yeah. Then they realize the half-life extended. Then they also have calculation to prove it. Time is a fourth dimension. So time, they finally discovered that formula. Time is equal to square root of 1 minus your speed divided by the speed of light, the whole thing square. So if your speed tends towards the speed of light, your speed and the speed of light become 1. Understand that? So 1 minus 1 is indeterminate. It is almost 0. So square root of 0 is what? It's almost, there is no time. That's why we call it the timeless. Yeah. So when we understand this, then we can understand why they say one aeon or 10 small aeon is only one thought. And you can put it the other way around. One thought is equal to the 10,000 small aeons. So all these are possible. Then when you exist in certain realm, even the scientists, they know you fly at the speed of light, or tends towards the speed of light, you don't get old. You don't get old because time is like arrested. Yeah. A lot of these things, he used a logical thinking mind, human mind, you cannot understand. Yeah, this is the consciousness field. The consciousness field is another very, very major field. Yeah. That's why the scientists, they have actually develop a lot of R&D research and study. And even our present civilization, they have a lot of breakthrough, yeah, especially the scientific laws, even physics, chemistry, biology, and all the various technological understanding. They have developed them, even in the field of quantum mechanics, in the field of electromagnetic wave. Yeah. Scientists have discovered a lot of things. Gravity, yeah. Then of course, apart from gravity is electromagnetic wave. Yeah. Then they also have a lot of other understanding. You realize they have even gone down into all the quantum world to develop the quantum mechanics. Then the theory of relativity and many other things. Then Einstein tried to discover or come to the understanding of a unified theory. He called it a unified theory. Once you have all the understanding of this unified theory that created the universe, the boundary condition, then he said you can have the mind of God. You know what is mind of God? You can understand creation. You can understand a lot of things about the universe because the unified theory enabled them to do all this. But then there is one aspect which they haven't penetrated. The consciousness. They have penetrated the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the thought and all that. They got psychology and various style of study. But when it comes to the pure consciousness, which is beyond thought, beyond mind, they cannot, because this one you need to meditate to realize it. Then the other thing about this consciousness is they realize within the existential world, the fastest entity that can travel is the speed of light. The speed of light. There is nothing faster than the speed of light. Even physics, they know relative velocity, both travel at near the speed of light. When they come together in collision course, the relative velocity is still the speed of light. They cannot exceed that. Yeah. So they came to that understanding. But then there is another entity that they fail to understand is they call it the black hole and all those things. And the Big Bang theory, they got the theory, but they haven't developed a clear understanding. Because if it takes you traveling at the speed of light to actually go around the universe, it is too long, because so far the known existential continent or planet or space that you can see with whatever telescope that they can see is supposed to be 14, 15 billion light years away, and it could be further. So if you travel at the speed of light to reach there, which is the fastest entity, it takes you 14 to 15 billion years even to make a phone call. It's crazy. Then they reply, another 14, 15 billion years. Who can live that long? Yeah. But what I'm trying to explain to you is there was another entity that can move or travel way beyond the speed of light. That's why it can manifest all over the universe. We call it the oneness nature, our true nature, because that one is the source. From there, all things arise. So if you have that singularity, you will understand all this creation. You will be able to actually bring about all this possibility. That's why scientists believe that there is this, what they call, they call it the time travel. They can open up the portal for time travel. And this time travel is way beyond the speed of light. They can come out from the other end of the universe. Split second, there. Then they can also come back. But that portal is not within the known or the science. That's why that one, you have to meditate. You have to realize that nature. And then only there's a possibility of breakthrough to understand all this. Okay, we go back to the sharing. I think we still got another 8 minutes. Okay, I will continue. When people sit in meditation, if they don't strike up false thinking, they can sit for an entire day and feel as if it were a single second. If you strike up false thinking, it can seem as if a single second lasted. Oh, who knows how many years? Who sit there and you can't still sit still? You want to quit sitting. And so one thought is 10,000 aeons. 10,000 aeons is but a single thought. So this is true for those who can develop the meditative experience. Sometimes when you go into a cessation, time passes. Like there is no movement at all, no time. It is relative. Then sometimes you can actually go into a certain mind state. Like the rhyme where they live very long, the formless rhyme and all say. Actually you go in, it's like for a short period now. But when you come out of it, when you become conscious of it, I remember when I was in the university on the first day I arrived, I never meditated before. I went to science faculty, I saw K3 Damananda, our late chief. He gave a very good talk and he pointed to the brain now, the forehead. He said, look inside, look. So at that time, I still don't know what mind is. I still don't know what meditation is. But I saw him pointing. I went back, then I decided to meditate. I wait till my roommate sleep. I hear him snoring. Then almost 12 midnight, I decided to sit to meditate. Then because I can concentrate and focus very well, so I silent everything. Nobody taught me how to meditate. Then my mind became quiet. Of course, amazing, because I saw a lot of bright spot inside it. Then I decided to focus, to concentrate, because I don't know. So I lock onto one of the very fine bright spot. Then after a while, I got nothing to do. I give it a push, you know. Then I like went into infinite space. So, like I can see that mind travel out into a realm which they call infinite space. So, then after a while, it starts to withdraw. Then after that, I come out. Actually, those happening was only, I think, a few seconds. But I became very calm, very still after I came out. Then I thought, at the most, I say, give it what they call long series of time or whatever. Maximum, I must have sat there for half an hour only. Because initially I was playing with that thing. But the actual thing where I went in was only a few seconds. When I looked at my watch, it was 4 a.m. 4 hours I have been sitting there. And to me, it's like just a while ago. Then after that, that calmness, that stillness, that peace was with me for 1 week. That's why after that I thought, this must be meditation. I don't know what this thing is. Then after that, I naturally know how to see. Then finally, my anapanasati came. Then I was absorbed into it. Then mindfulness become continuous. Then from there, I start to live my life. But that was also the first instant I encountered the Dhamma after I met K. Sridharmananda. After the talk, I asked for the address. Then I drove all the way with the motorbike to Brickfield Temple. That's where I started. So relativity is like that. When you know how to develop the meditative training and experience, your mind can go into all those mind states. But I realize it's a conditioned mind state. It's not the pure awareness of a free mind. That's why all this you can experience them. It is, I think, the formless rhyme, the first rhyme. There are four formless rhymes. Infinite space, infinite consciousness, then the rhyme of nothingness, and the final highest one is the rhyme of neither perception or non-perception. Means the mind becomes so still. You neither perceive or don't perceive. And those beings who take birth up there, the formless rhyme, they live very, very long. But like the Buddha explained, it's relative. Relative. Okay? So we go back. Another 2 minutes, I will try to end somewhere. Okay, I think we end here. I will mark this page. And the Buddha, Sun, Moon, and Brahma speak in the month of 60. Oh, okay. So we will continue. Now is second session. Meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have, you can ask. You can ask me on whatever topic you want to the meditation, or you report your meditation experience, or you can share your whatever Dhamma in daily life that you have gone through. Okay, the last session, I think Sister Ingi was the last to share. Ingi, can you nominate somebody?
Actually, I have nothing to report. But since you nominate me, I just spoke about my daily practice. Actually, I stay alone. I make it very calm in the day that I do what I need to do. And just try to be in the meditative mode most of the time. So most of the time I experience calmness and calmness of mind. Whatever I do, I'm more calm in that way. And unlike those days, I do things very fast. But now I slow down all my speed, and I don't need to do that fast because now I only work 2 days a week. So whatever I do, I try to be at the present moment and be more mindful and aware of what I'm doing. So this is my daily practice that I am in. But during, even before MCO, with MCO or no MCO is no different to me because I stay alone. I have all the time. I just do my daily routine. What I need to do, and I just practice. So I find that last time I couldn't chant the Ta Pei Zhou, you know. I tried so hard, you know. But during the MCO, I find that with the calmness of mind, I can pick faster, you know.
Yeah.
I can pick faster, and during that period, I managed to memorize the whole Ta Pei Zhou and Shen Jing.
Okay, very
because
good.
I find that when you are calm and you just do at your own pace, there is no hurry towards it. There I learn I learned from there that anything we do, we have to be mindful, and the same time that we must know what we are doing. So from there I learned. Actually, I don't really have much to report.
Okay,
thank you.
So do. Let us rejoice. Do you have any question, Han?
Question?
Or any topic you want to discuss? Like when you go through life, do you encounter any experience that
the experience
worth sharing?
I really go through when the practice comes in is when I had my operation. That was about 5 years ago. When this sickness hit me, I tell myself, I just accept for what it is, without no aversion towards it. Just accept, and most of the time, even I'm in pain, I try to be in a meditative mode, that I have no fear, no anxiety, and I just do my daily routine. Even though, especially when you are in pain, the mindfulness, the sati very hard to come by, you know, because your mind very disturbed, you know.
Yeah.
So what I did was, I keep on chanting it be so until my mind is so calm.
Okay.
When I do my MRI scan, oh my God, I'm so in pain, the ging ging gong gong, so noisy, that until I find it, I'm in a very stressful position.
So
I just do my chanting until I cannot believe it, I fall asleep, until the nurse woke me up, you say, over, she told me like that, So whatever it is, I feel that the calmness of mind is very important in whatever we do. No aversion, then things will unfold well. But whatever it is, but still, I find that that's a real test for me, how I have to go through and all these things, So when I came back, then I have recollection of mine that actually this aspiration was made in the holy site. I cannot remember which holy site. May I be blessed with good health to practice. It just came back to me, when I was discharged and when I came home,
So the aspiration could have helped you.
The aspiration really helped me. Whatever we do, so as a Buddhist, we really must really practice our daily mindfulness, in the sense of that must be in line with practice. Then otherwise, things will unfold well. And also, I find that upkeeping the precept also very important. So that is the guide to as a Buddhist.
Sadhu.
Okay, that's all. Good. Thank you.
Okay, maybe I will add in a bit. What Sister Han has shared is very good. Something that she actually encountered or went through or experienced. So based on what she has described, you can understand maybe a few important things. First is you must have faith. Then you have faith because she went to the holy site. I think must be referring to India. Is it India? Yeah, although she can't remember where. She remember she made the aspiration for good health, to practice, to cultivate. That's why that 5 years ago operation I was told by her, it was a very dangerous operation, life and death one. But she control. But like what she tried to share with us, which is very good, so that you all can learn. This one is, I feel, important. You all must listen and develop the understanding behind. Like when she said, when she was going through pain, she realized it's not easy to be mindful, to be aware. That one is very true. That's why a lot of people, when they only have Dhamma knowledge, when they confront the first noble to reality, which is sickness, disease, and they can manifest in various ways. Sometimes it's pain, severe pain, especially certain type of sickness and disease related to what they call cancer and other things. And the pain can be very, very intense. They describe it under various way to describe it. It is really very, very severe pain. Then sometimes it can manifest as other type of like mental states which are making you miserable. Like she went through the scan, the CT scan. Is it the sound, the vibration at that time with the sickness? You can't take it. But because of the vow, she know how to chant. So that faith in the chanting actually help her to manifest whatever that is aspired, so that he can go through it and he can gain back his good health. That's why after that, she recovered from the operation. Even the CT scan also, when it was over, she also don't know, she went into sleep or deep sleep. So this is one of the possibility when you have faith, you make vow, you make aspiration, then condition will arise for you to develop some form of ability to overcome them. But not everybody has that type of faith and understanding. But most cultivator would have that faith. So it can be done. You have faith, you don't have to worry. But when it comes to pain, just now he asked, and she said, it's not easy. What she said is very true, it's not easy. Unless you have stability of mindfulness, awareness, then your mind can be with that thing. That so-called consciousness that you call pain or you label as pain. Because actually, it is an emotion conditioned by your own aversion, dislike, or fear. Fear you don't know what will happen. Then the mind that lashes onto it will feel the pain. And sometimes it's so intense. I went through too before I did my operation for my buttock. I had this fistula thing. And that fistula, there are three. Because when I was young, we were not taught of any hygiene to use soap to wash, to clean that part. So when we were young, we don't have proper toilet paper too. And sometimes we use newspaper. Then if you got toilet paper, we use toilet paper or whatever paper. And this developed. Then when I grew up, it become, they call fistula. Then there is this, what they call pus, P-U-S. They accumulate until they have this, what they call, the doctor call it, you have to do a temporary relief, incision and drain. ID, they cut, then they press out the pulse and all things. Because it developed until so intense, it was actually very, very painful. Without touching it also, that thing is there. Then, of course, when they cut and they press it out, it was a relief. So, I already have the Dhamma, I already understood. Oh, for me, I knew that consciousness is like creating that thing in me. So like it constantly draw you to that. But I can accept the reality and stay with it, be with it. Then I know I cannot be all the time in that state. So the understanding manifests the Uniso Manasikana. You have two choices. Be miserable over it and suffer with it, or accept the reality. So I continuously allow my awareness to accept the reality, although it keep on coming because the tactile is so strong, so severe. I knew if I really want to like have a good moment, then I just silence everything and meditate. But I cannot always be in that position. That time I was still working. So I went and see my classmate who was a doctor opposite my house. So he did for me the IND, incision and drain. Oh, I feel good. No? After that, he said, you go back. You put the saline water and keep it like clean for a while I recommend you one specialist which he knows is SJMC, Samuel Tay, the doctor. I don't know whether he retired or still there. He said he is the expert for dealing with your case, the buttock there on. He is a special, very well qualified surgeon. So luckily because of that, I felt relieved for the next 1 or 2 days. Then I went and see him. That Samuel Tay, that specialist was very good. You know, he said, no problem. He said, come, I check on you. He put on a glove, a rubber glove. Then he insert his finger in. He just rotate one round. He said, you got 3 fistula. He said, you need to go for operation. I said, the IND cannot. Oh, he said, I don't do this. This one the GP do. Specialists don't do. I operate to heal you. Once and for all. Oh, I said, well, that I understand. I said, okay, good. Then I asked him, how long does the operation take? He said, 1 day only. You stay in, the next day, I will operate. He said, then after that, if nothing wrong, you stay for another 9 hours, then you can go back. Then that time I was planning a trip. I already planned the trip to the States. United States, LA, and Disneyland, all those things, the one world, Sea World, one, I forgot already. The ticket all bought already, you know. So I told Samuel Tay, the doctor, that, Doc, I am flying out next week, 7 days later. Do you think I should do it here or wait till I come back? He said, you don't play a fool. You think you can wait, if you that thing manifests in US, you know how much is your bill or not. I say like that. But if I do here, can I fly? He say, I don't know. He say, you have to decide. But deep inside, I knew I can endure one, no problem. So I said, well, like that. How? I asked him how. He said, don't worry. He said, if the operation done already, I give you a ring. He said, a plastic ring or what to sit on so that it doesn't disturb your buttock. Because the flight to the US was 24 hours now. Immediately after operation haven't healed, you can fly like that. I tell you, not easy. So, but deep inside, I knew I had the Dhamma, I had the understanding, I got no problem. I said, okay, like, you operate. I said, okay, sure. I spare you the ring. And finally, I tell him, no need ring. I said, can. After the operation, I was under anesthesia, full anesthesia. The anesthesia was very good. Are you off that thing? Press the light off. Thanks. So under anesthesia, I was blackout for 3 hours. There's like no memory, nothing like that. They numb the brain there, that part that is responsible for you to have the consciousness. You got no dream, nothing. when you go to anesthesia, the whole few hours is like not recorded at all, blank. Then I remember when he put the anesthesia, I got a choice to stay aware and mindful inside or just let it go. Then finally I let it go. He was counting up to I think 7, 8 already. And then I switched it off. I also went unconscious. Then when I wake up, I think the operation was 1 something. When I wake up, was already 4 something to 5 p.m. Yeah. Then after that, the specialist, he came. He first time he cleaned it for me. He teach me how to do it with the spray, everything. Then I asked me to sit on the saline water. He said at least 30 minutes, but I sat for 1 hour, make sure it's clean. Then after the first night, the next morning, I already knew I feel good already. Then after that, the doctor said, you can ask your wife or what to clean for you. And my wife did a good job, cleaned it very well. Then after that, discharged the next day. Then 5-6 days later, fly to US. Yeah, I know how to meditate. I know how to relax, silent. I got no problem. So this pain thing, what I'm trying to describe to you is, you can be aware of it, but because that fistula that I experienced very painful, the pulse, when they press it out, it's very smelly on there. It's like septic inside there already. And it like bunch out. And it's very painful when the skin become like very sensitive. So when they did the incision, or you have to endure. Then I was able to be with it. Even when I went and see my classmate, I said, it's very painful, is it? I said, this one is really kaulat, they are from other star, then he said, okay, let me have a look. You can tan. Then he said, I did the IND for you immediately. That's why he did it for me. Good karma, I only suffer. I didn't really suffer. I was like, I went through the IND. Means that 1-2 hours before that, when I was feeling that intense pain, I had to endure. Then when I went and see, after he do the IND, like completely relieved. I can just relax, silent, and be and nothing happened. Then after that, it was nothing really. Then he gave me the reference. I immediately, the next day, went and see the specialist. That's why I could come up. All this resolved, no problem. There are 2 ways. One is your way, which is aspiration and all things. It can happen. The other one is the wisdom way, the understanding. You have to learn to endure. So what you described just now is your way of doing things. Like you say, you stay alone. You try to live following the Dhamma way, means mindful and aware. But from the way you describe the daily mindfulness thing, you have not developed well. You have not developed the understanding of it, the direct seeing, the silent mind, or thing. That one you need to go into it. Maybe you can discuss with Pocheng. Pocheng has done it. He knows what that thing is. So what you actually went through is where you haven't really confronted very severe first noble truth reality that really hit you. That's why most of the time you are peaceful, you keep your precept, you have your good coming inheritance and condition. That's why your life at this age, you are still okay. But later, as you age further, especially when you hit 70 or near to 70 and beyond, the body starts to behave differently again. Then as you hit 70 plus to 80, it's different again. Then in between, of course, depending on coming, many things will happen. And if you stay alone, you have to have somebody whom you can contact if there is emergency. Because there are situations, My classmate, 10 years younger, happened to him. He stayed alone, bachelor. He was so sick. Until he can't even move. He can't even reach the phone to make a call. He almost died. Luckily, another friend, close friend of him who got the key, came and visited him. Then found him like that. Cannot even get water to drink and all that. So finally, he took him to the hospital. And he survived. So if you stay alone, make sure you can actually contact somebody. Keep your phone near to you and all those things. Then the other thing is also, when we stay alone, sometimes we don't know what will happen. In fact, one of the Kayamita, true story, middle of the night, she was getting from the fridge, she really wanted to eat something, the overnight food. She heated it up. Then she made a drink, then she was eating it. Halfway to work, she blacked out. Blacked out and she fell with the hot soup meal and together with the drink, actually splashed on her. That was midnight. 3-4 a.m. morning, she regained consciousness and wake up. Then called one of the Kayamita, also the close friend. Luckily, they all single, not married one. Like Stephanie, they all these people. I told them, you better make contact and make sure everything okay. He called her. Then she immediately called me. Then I went with my wife over. I said, then why did you go? If he cannot reach the door, we ask the guard to open the door and go in. Yeah. So, find something here and we reach her apartment. Then luckily she was able to open the door already. Then she sends her head, the fowl. I think his cat got damaged or whatever. He wants to admit heading Subang Medical, we are nearby. So they did a CT scan. They did a scan. Yeah. Then took her in. Then I think finally admitted. Then there was another one. One of the Kayamita's wife, very old, 70 plus. Suddenly the eye also cannot see. Then developed into problem. Then the blood pressure very high. That Kayamita was in Singapore. The first thing he recalled is to call me. He said, Brett, you don't mind. Do we have it? I said, what happened? He said, the wife in Tamantun now alone in the house. He said, contacted the sister, emergency, everything. They don't know what to do. So I went over, I contacted Yun Chan. Yun Chan's neighbor is a doctor. Luckily, checked the pulse. The heartbeat was so high. That's why he called ambulance. Immediately, I met her. Then luckily, nothing happened after she recovered. So if you stay alone, make sure you got somebody to call. You're still young, it's okay, but try to...
Normally, I will talk to my family members.
Yeah. So they will track on you. If they cannot get you, they must send somebody.
Another thing, but I forgot about the last part. Before I enter the operation theater, I was trying to go into the meditative mode. I managed to go in, but I suddenly the mind saw so bright yellow light, nimitta. Then I told myself I won't die already. I can go through this.
Okay.
So I saw the bright golden nimitta. Somehow rather like my heart felt connected to a triple channel.
Yeah.
So I told myself I won't die already.
Yeah. It's because of your faith, and also at that time you were doing.
I knew I can go through.
No, you were doing.
But sometimes the knowing mind will know,
Of course, it's like your sixth sense, your intuitive sixth sense. But what you have to understand is the nimitta manifests because you were doing jhana at that time. You were in the jhanas. You were doing a lot of that when you were with your Nepal teacher or what, you used to report to me. Sri Lanka, sorry, not Nepal, Sri Lanka. You used to do the jhana thing. So that is energy field. That's why the limit power manifests. Yeah, these are the habitual things that you used to do. You often do. That you will manifest on. But because of your faith in the triple gem, that will help you. Then you will sense that you know the operation all will go through. So these are possible, which is very good for your case. But what you didn't go through was the wisdom one. That's why now you need to release it and come out into the daily mindfulness and develop the direct seeing, the wisdom, the understanding. Then your mind becomes different. It can be a free mind in awareness, be with that thing that exists. But my fistula thing, they say like Ding or Pao, it's so severe, it keep on haunting you unless you do something to it. You need treatment, you need something to relieve it, you have to seek treatment. But you have to endure. In between, there is nothing you can do. Either you endure and at peace with it, or you become miserable over it. No two other way. So the wisdom way, you can. Well, I endure it for 2-3 hours. It was severe pain. Nobody can take it when I know. Will be crying upside down when they complain here. But I endure it.
But right, yeah. Sometimes we just aware of pain as pain, but don't follow the pain. Just the consciousness is pain.
No use. They will tell you no pain, pain, pain. Who is no pain? You cannot. Because your leg cross pain, that one easier. That one can flash off and go. This one, disease.
So what I'm telling is my pain. I was having nausea, and then my head so painful, and also
What you do is you went into the chanting and all those things. You try to ignore that auto suggestion for the mind to do something else. Then you shut off the mind because you do energy field. You can go into that and shut off the mind. Yeah, you can go into like the jhanic state and all those things. So these are possible when you chant it depends with the faith, then that faith brings about that what they call I don't call it samadhi, it's a type of absorption concentration that goes into the jhanic state. Then your mind shut off. Then you feel relieved. But when you wake up, when you become conscious again, so the first noble true reality is when you are conscious, when it's a free mind, can you deal with that type of suffering that surface? The first eight reality of life and existence, it can be birth, old age, sickness and death. It can be separation. It can be when you are with people whom you don't like and when things don't go your way. And the worst is that sickness, disease, and also injury. So sometimes all this, when it come, it has a lot to do with coming on. You can't really avoid. You have to confront. So when you confront without wisdom, the suffering can be very intense. Like what you go through, you say severe pain, all those things. So you need your faith and your other type of training that you used to have to help you overcome them. But luckily you managed to do it, but not everybody is as fortunate as you, may not have such condition like you have. Then if you are going through the operation, most of the time they put you under full anesthesia. Were you under full anesthesia, then you don't know one. It will completely knock you off.
3.5 hours.
Then that 3.5 hour blank one, you will got no record of what happened. Completely blank. You try to recall, but I try to recall. Cannot blank. No, because they numb that brain that is responsible for consciousness. So our consciousness cannot arise. So during that time, what they call bhavanga, that is the one. The bhavanga means that stream continuum of life force consciousness. It just flow, no infringement, nothing. It went below the conscious and the subconscious. Means it's the unconscious, bhavanga. That's how it is. But there is vibration. There is vibration. Bhavanga, they call it. That's why I experimented with all this when I went through the operation. Just this is how I understand, right? The Buddha said, this noble truth or dukkha is to be understood. If I don't confront it, how can I understand it? How can I develop the wisdom? That's why I went through all this, and that was 1996. 96, how many years earlier? 16 years earlier. 24 years earlier. Oh, 24 years earlier. Kai Wan Siao. 24 years earlier. Ah, yeah. Pass to Alicia. Yeah. Ah.
Good evening, Brother Teo, Mr. Steele, and all Kaimitas. Actually, about the COVID experience.
Ah, how?
Hi, Sega. First number truth. Actually, when we were first day on the retreat, so-called the quarantine, so I was having fever, cough, flu, backache, everything. So, 当我有这一切的所谓的 suffering 的时候，然后我的 cough 是 non-stop 的，所以它就是 keep on cough。So 我就 suddenly inside 就问我自己的一个 message，不是说本来无一物的吗？然后我就去 meditate， you know， 所以我就去 meditate。Of course， in the first beginning， it takes a little while to settle down 啦，就我就 meditate。可是真的可以，我不然就
yeah，
no， I can sit for 20 over minutes，
no problem， yeah，
without anything， just silent，
可以的，
然后我就
even 一两个小时都可以的，
对，我出来我讲，我真的是可以的哦。
But you cannot be in that position for the whole of your life，
right，
you need to live life，
这个只是一个过程给你去 experience， 去知道，去 understand。所谓的这个 five aggregate， 所以我们去 grasping on 这个 perception， 很痒啊，那个 tactile 就是一个 tactile 嘛，然后你很痛啊，然后你去抓就很痛啊，然后所谓的一切的一切了，所以就 through 这个 experience， 还有一个就是你呼吸不到的，
对，
你呼吸不到，那你怎么办呢？
Some people develop fear。
所以我就跟我是讲，呼吸不到就不要呼吸咯。然后我就把那个被盖着那个头就睡觉了，好的，就过了四个小时这样子就 blank off， 就 I mean I wouldn't know it's a meditation or what， but I just blank off for 4 hours， then when I wake up， it's like so fresh and you know like suddenly 你好像一个 new you 这样，你知道吗？所以我的感觉是哇，真的是很 amazing。就是整个过程让我明白到这个所谓的我的 COVID 的 experience 是人生的一个另外一个 you know
阶段
去 understand 这个 Buddha Dharma。
Very good，
you know? So after that for 今天来讲哦，其实我 after 那个 dinner 我的喉咙一直在很痒，然后我就 drop by 去买一个 subsil 可是当我在 meditate 的时候，那个 half an hour 我感觉不到我的喉咙，
对，
它就是一个只是一个 stillness， 一个 silence， 完完全全没有感觉。
Because that's tranquility still mind is your true mind。When the true mind is there, this conscious, what they call tactile thing, even feeling or it cannot go near. It cannot go near. But you have to be in that state continuous. But you have to come out one. Because this body is your body. The body go the way of nature. So let me explain a little bit of how you able to do it, which is very good. Because like you will say, the COVID or the symptom, your pain, your cough, your ache, and all those things. Then even you have what they call then finally, of course, stuffy. You cannot breathe, like difficulty in breathing. That one I will explain later. All this, like your ache or whatever, then itchy throat, all that, these are easier to deal. For our body, these are very easy. This one, whenever I about to have a flu or fall sick or have any of these fever or what, for me it's nothing, but I just relax, silent, and I go through and I recover. Then I need to rest on it. Yeah, I only need to rest. For your case, it's very good because you do not project your thought to trigger the fear when you cannot breathe. A, because you know how to meditate, you know how to silence and go to your nature. That's why actually when you cover the blanket and just silent meditate, that ability to meditate makes the big difference. Because when you do that, you went into your nature. Then when we are able to meditate with that entire awareness, actually we already able to be like mind is deep. Mind is deep means you hardly breathe one. You seldom breathe. You can be aware at anywhere one. Then the breathing becomes very like normal, very quiet, very still. There's no one. That's why when you go into it, then when you arise, it's 4 hours, you feel very fresh. Then you are actually doing the meditative movement into your nature, into your gateway. That's why that one will help you recover, recuperate. So that one is very, very good, very beautiful. That's why with the Dhamma, with the understanding, and you have the stability of mindfulness, and you know how to meditate and go to the gateway, all these are possible. You can recuperate very fast and all those things. But when you have severe disease, like the they call certain kind of, what I went through is one of them, the fistula, because this thing is, they call septic already, or hot hong already. It means become very serious. And that thing keep on trigger over. No, it's not just a normal itchy tack down. This one is like the body tell you are chronic already. You need to seek treatment. But this is the way the body actually sound out to you, tell you you need to attend to it. That's why it become like very strong, keep on haunting you. It is actually worse than a person in depression, where the cocoon of thought keep on hitting them. That one is mental suffering. That one actually you got wisdom, you can endure. But physical body one is not easy. You have to have the stability of mind first to be with it. Then I can stay with it for a period, but I know that type of tactile keep on coming on. Once I out of the meditative state, that thing is there. Then I got 2 choices. Endure or have to allow it torment me and develop the like negativity of myself. But very strange, you know, I can just endure, you know, although I know it's very painful, very uncomfortable, but it's not affecting me at all. That if I completely silent, the mind is the mind, that thing is that thing, the consciousness is that thing. That 2 things are not related one. But because it is tactile, so strong, your consciousness trapped inside, cannot run. It keep on manifesting. It's like continuously haunting you. So you have to attend to it. That's why I attend to it. So that is the one that I want you to understand. When you face that, don't be a hero. I know we can do it for a while, but need to seek doctor, seek doctor. Need to attend to it, attend to it. Get people to help you to sort it out or clear it. So this is where the Dhamma is. The body goes away of nature. It doesn't belong to us. It is anatta. Then it is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. You will experience all this. So if you take care of karma, karma take care of you, then you can endure and you can recover faster. Then you know how to like make aspiration, like han or what. Then this thing can also come and help, and the faith or the thing, they can manifest in various ways. Then some have faith in the great being, like Kuan Yin Pusa or something, like my mother. He has faith in Kuan Yin. In time of danger, that the Kuan Yin's nature actually manifests, respond. Then she escaped and recovered and all. All these are possible. We are within the realm of nature's law. When you understand, you know how to develop the wisdom to make use of it, make a ditan or aspiration, or develop the vow and all those things. then you create affinity with great beings and all things, then it will manifest. So sadhua, very good.
I went to before I appreciate, I went to Yunnan because of the high altitude. I came down from a cable car. Suddenly, I can't breathe. My body becomes so soft. So I just be aware. I just go into a meditative mode. Silence the mind. Then I just do my breathing. In out in anapana. I think within 5 minutes. I'm back to normal.
Yeah, you know? That's why it
once you
help.
Panic. This
that's
will
why.
Hinder you.
You know what you have? Yeah, you develop anapana, which is mindfulness of the in and out breath. Means you develop mindfulness. Then that mindfulness become continuous. Your awareness, your true mind surface.
I was at the back, no, the last person, no, the sedan chair, the China person. Bai wu. People asking me to go on the sedan chair. I said no.
Yeah, they always want to get business. They expect the yeah. If you know how to develop the mindfulness and stay with it, you will go through. Because these are sudden events. It can turn around. Yeah. Sometimes it could be the imbalance, or you feel like difficulty in breathing, altitude problem. Definitely. Like that trip we went to. Hey, what? Since we're Yunnan, we went to your country. Oh, you didn't go. Yunnan. It's very high altitude one. No. Luku Lake. Then the high altitude one. I think the Tibetan stay there, very high altitude. Shangri-La. A lot of people, you remember the Tao Yu told us, they got altitude sickness. The whole group take the plane down. They cannot take it. But our whole bus, nobody had problem. Yeah, they also asked us to buy. We also buy, but no need to use. All of us fine, no problem. That's why you have the understanding, you're mindful and where you should be okay. Yeah, good sharing. Sadhu. Oh, so fast, 10:30. Okay, so let us rejoice in all the good sharing. Sadhu. Now we better do the sharing of merit, transformation, then we end. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang bodhitwa chirang rakkantu loka sasana itta watta cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Deo asatu kalena sasa sampati hetu ce. Vito bhavatu loko ce. Raja bhavatu dhammiko imena punyang kamena mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu. Okay, you all can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kanyi Bodhisattva. Or the worthy one.